if I've been carried by grace. Don't ask me how, 'cause I can't explain. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I've got some blessings that I don't deserve. I've got some scars, but that's how you learn. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I think it over and it doesn't add up. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles.
You are listening to the Gospel Trail.
Father in heaven, it is always a privilege and a joy to be with Sandy and with Kevin and to share this time together. We pray that you will guide us in what occurs. We pray that Sandy will be able to give us a good report about his experience in Mexico and that it will just be a real blessing to people. And just guide us through this whole process, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I've always referred to my friends, the Ramirez's in Mexico City, as my second family. And in fact, I've told a lot of people that when I first met Billy's mother, I enjoyed her more than my own mother, because she greeted me as she had never met me. And my friend Billy said, just say that you're a friend of Billy's. Just knock on the door. Just show up. And I told her that, and she said, welcome. And she opens up her arms and gives me a big hug and stuff. So it's like I get a little teary-eyed thinking about it, because the word that comes forth to me, you know, of my experience in Mexico, which I just got back from Mexico City, is the word is family. Family. Mm-hmm. Family, family, family. It's not only mi casa is tu casa, my house is your house, it's family, and it's family. And so I got to meet a couple of new members of Billy's family. His son-in-law, whose name is Brian Butler, a young man. I mean, I met him because we had breakfast at the Ramirez's. We had breakfast one morning, and I met him. And, you know, I told him my background with that I was ordained in the John G. Lake ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, I've read about John G. Lake. I've read about Cole. I've read about Branham. I read about Mother Eder and stuff. So it's we just connected immediately. It's like, you know, it actually makes my spirit just kind of scream, because it was so exciting to be tied to him immediately. And he had married Billy's daughter, Natalia. And I says, well, you have to be special, because she had high standards and she wasn't going to compromise anything in her marriage. And he's fantastic. They have a little daughter, Isabel, who's 14 months old, and she's pregnant with their second child that'll be coming.
Wow!
So we got together, and we had breakfast together, and Pam, my wife, had asked some questions, or can you help us with these certain situations? And it was like, I was just taken back, because this young man, he's probably 32 years old. His wisdom, his spiritual wisdom and his background is way beyond his years. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Wow.
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, as he was speaking, I thought, how can this be? You know, it's like, how can this be? How can this young man move in the spirit and know the Lord like he does? So so we had a great time. And I compared it to having a piece of heaven. We sat at the table and had a piece of heaven, and we prayed for each other. And we lifted people up, and we blessed people, and we got words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and it was like, thank you, Lord. I mean, even as I'm speaking about it, it reminds me of when I first came to Christ, when he spoke to me in a counseling session. I can feel the Spirit of God. And so it was infused that day in the family. And of course, everywhere we went with them, it was a part of that. So let's fast forward to the one Sunday we were there. His son-in-law was actually going to be speaking at the Rhema Church in Mexico City.
Yep.
The Rhema Church.
Well, notice where stuff happened, as we inadequately call it. I mean, it was in the household, or it was in the restaurant. It was with the church.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I mean, it's nice to go to the sanctuary,
right,
to celebrate, but I mean, you were right down there with the church.
But here again, too, is I want to emphasize, Don, and I'm looking at you too, is I want to emphasize that family. I was praying about it before I was going to speak today. It says, what set apart that church and that family? What sets that apart from what I experience here? You know what I mean? About what I experience here. Mm-hmm. And it's their family. So we go into church. They pick us up and we go to church. Church starts at 11. That's the official time it starts.
Yeah,
we were there at 9:30. We were there at 9:30, and so we met with the leadership team of Rhema, and Rhema means the spoken word in Greek.
Right.
Word Rhema means the spoken word, and so we were guests. I mean, we were. Because my friend Bill Ramirez is high in the Rhema Church there. He's been a teacher. He's done Bible Institute, the Rhema Bible Institute, for years. So he's been there, so he knows everybody. So we get there, every 6 inches, he's introducing us to people. And they're all hugging us. And they're all just joyous to see us. And I'm thinking, wow, this is more than a typical greeting to get together.
Yeah.
So we go to the leadership meeting. There's about like 25 people there. And so he introduces us to the pastoral leaders and then his son-in-law, who was going to be preaching that day. So he introduces us. And then they pray to begin with. And then they have breakfast. We had eggs and toast and fresh fruit and stuff. So we were fed. And then he went around and asked, well, what's going to be going on today? How are we going to be doing this? And what's new in the church? And people just shared. So that gets us up to 11 a.m. You know, so we go into church at 11 a.m. and they seat us like the second row back, you know, from the front.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I think it probably seated like 250 people, and so they open up in prayer and they ask for people for if there's any prayer requests. And then they start worship. And worship is worship there. Worship is worship. They were singing. They were clapping hands. They were dancing before the Lord. They were dancing. And I haven't experienced that in years.
Wow.
And my wife looked over at me and she said, I've never seen you happier in a worship service. And I said, I was free. I was free. And I was just praising the Lord and worshiping him and moving in him. And then they have time, you know, then they, and then of course, then they pray, you know, well, who needs prayer? So they break up. All these teams are out there praying for people. And then the worship comes again. And they sing, I don't know how long it was, 45 minutes. It didn't matter because the time went so quickly because we were in his presence. We were overwhelming joy. I just felt free. And then his son-in-law brought the message, Lucas. Luke 13, verses 1 through 9, which talks about repentance, and it talks about cursing the fig tree. So Jesus cursed the fig tree.
So Lucas brought the word of Luke.
That's right. Yeah. So Brian was just, it was just great. And there wasn't any interpretation, but there didn't need to be any interpretation. I could understand because the Spirit, wherever you are, the Spirit of God takes over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I don't know how long he spoke. And then when he was done, he asked, you know, he said, those of you out there that want to be born again, to be saved, please come forward. You know, so there was an altar call. So a dozen people come up. A dozen people.
Wow.
When was the last time we saw a dozen people come up in a church service?
Yep.
You know, and so some of them were crying. Some of them were on their knees. And so they were praying for him. And then this Mauricio, who was talking to us to begin with, he takes them aside and takes them out, because he's going to give them what they need to do for the next step and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they continue on with the service. Okay, so the service continues on. And this is like 3.5 hours later. You know, I mean, we finally get out there. And then as we're leaving, the pastor and his wife, Brian and Natalia, Billy's son-in-law and daughter, they're all greeting people. So everywhere we went, it was like, put my arms around you. You're a friend of them. You're part of the family. I felt like I was a part of the family. And it's my greatest desire coming back to Duluth and in the church is that we need to engender that. We need to produce that. We need to feel like it's corporate. This is family. And that's one of the themes of the Rhema Church is family.
Family
is everything. The word of faith, the spoken word, healing, and then family as being so important, the community, the church community.
Right, right.
So that's what I came back with is like, I was exhilarated. I was, I felt free because the main church in Mexico is the Catholic Church. So this is a Pentecostal, charismatic, non-denominational church.
Right.
Rhema Church. It was founded by Kenneth Hagin back in the 80s.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Kenneth Hagin. Yeah. So that's how it started. So I just came back renewed. You know what I mean? Can you sense that, Don? It's like,
oh yeah.
This is the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. We are to worship. We are to dance. We are to be free in each other. We are to be involved in each other's lives.
Right.
You know, it's like the community cares about the community and they show it. And they show it constantly. And you'll be interested in knowing that the church rents this space. So they have to tear it all down.
Oh, no.
After every service, you know. But they've got all these people. All these people are involved. And they all have a smile. And they're always saying, thank you for being here. We love you. Glad you're here. And that you're a part of this worship, that we can worship together. So.
And that renting is not necessarily a bad thing. You don't have that mortgage. And the upkeep, which a lot of churches build a new building and find out, well, there's a lot more to this than just building it and moving in. There's upkeep, the whole thing. So that's
well. And the thing is, and then we're the church. We as
and,
a people.
And well,
are
it
the
gives
church.
People
the
it
church.
Gives people a chance to participate. Like the people that are taking it down at the end of the thing. You know, they're part of the family. It's like when we get together. As a family for a barbecue, I mean, there's some work to go together, go through to get the deck set up and the fire, the fire pit or the barbecue set up and all this. Different parts of the family go out and do different things, and then when we get together, we rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I say rejoice.
Yeah.
And that's thank you for that. I was looking for a. I'm preaching on the Ten Commandments next Wednesday, and I was looking for a different angle on that. I mean, not some nugget or some different thing that, I just want to look at it, take a step back and look at it from God's eyes. And I think the Ten Commandments are just what you described. I mean, a father.
Mm. Here we go. Uh-oh.
I mean, it's been hit so close. To home this last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a father giving advice to his people, Israel, because Israel used to worship God, worship him.
Mm.
And the next generation comes along. They're not worshiping him as much or they change what they're doing. Maybe we should do it this way. You know, maybe, I mean, the detail. I mean, they bring out the fatted calf. Like, how's this? You know, mm-hmm. Well, then the Ten Commandments come because it's the Father giving the son and daughters wisdom. This is how you should get along in the world. You know, if you go to a foreign country, you don't do this. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. You know, otherwise right. You're going to be in peril. I mean, how much more, you know, can God's family be?
Yeah.
And then we get together on Sunday. If we don't, like you say, you miss that. You know, I miss that now that I hear you saying that. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the family of God.
Yeah.
The family of God.
Yeah, the family of God. And there's, you know, and there's really nothing that replaces it. I mean, there, you know, it's like I felt like I was one with them. I was connected with them. And they were glad that I was there. They were glad that I was a part of them. And all they could do is just, I've never had so many hugs in my life in a couple hour time.
That's right.
Everyone came up. Well, and Billy would introduce, these are my great friends from Duluth, Minnesota, you know, and they all just kind of came around and gave a big hug. And I just can't, I was blown away.
Right.
But
right.
It was a part of heaven again, like I said.
It was
like a part of heaven. When we sat at that table and we prayed.
That's right.
Because because normally what I say, or people will say, well, I'll pray for you. No, let's pray right now.
Right.
I need prayer right now.
And what we've reduce that to is a prayer before we eat.
Yeah.
When we get together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And if that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, and there's, it doesn't always happen.
Right. And just like you're saying, our importance as fathers and stuff, you know, and I realize just like I need prayer for Joel.
You do?
Joel has blocked lymph nodes. Blocked.
Wow.
He has not been able to work for 6 weeks. Six weeks. So I'd appreciate prayer right now. Could you or Don, could you pray?
Well, sure.
Yeah, would you pray?
Yes, Lord, we pray for this ailment that Joel is experiencing right now, that, you know, our bodies are frail. Our bodies are decaying every day because we only have them for one lifetime. But, Lord, just make that blocked way open.
Yes.
Yes.
Just like
yes.
you.
Jesus' name.
Like
yes.
crooked ways straight, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It says in the Bible that's just not right. Mm-hmm. It's just not right. And Lord, just he's a child of God. He worships you. He he speaks your word.
Yes.
To others. And just Lord, just make his life more pleasant and livable while here on earth. Mm-hmm. That those lymph nodes should be healed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name right now. I mean, Father God, we come in Jesus' name asking
that
this child of God be healed.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, thank you for that. This week, I mean, I'm trying to come up with something joyful and exciting. And, you know, I told you about the service experience that I went to this week, and I expect to come out of a church service at least inspired, you know, being convicted of something in my heart is being inspired to change. And either that or, you know, something uplifting or a kind word, or it goes a long ways. And the only thing I could see before this, we got together here today, was Psalm 142, where it says, "My refuge has failed me."
Mm.
And that whole psalm is about, you know, where's the church? Where's the church?
Where are you, God?
Where are you, God? Yeah. You know, I looked in the sanctuary and could not find him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but I found him today when we get together.
Yeah.
And Don and you,
I was,
Sandy.
I was glad to bring this back, you know, because it was like, this is church. This is the community that we're a part of.
That's right.
And we're living at such a low level. We're living at such a low level because we're too busy or we're too frantic or we don't spend that time. But it's like, if we just need to open up, just like his family opened up to me. And like I said, I want to hang out with his mother more than my mother. You know, and I, you know, and I loved my mother, but it was like she came and just opened up her arms. And it was like, well, you're a friend of Billy's. You're a friend of mine. Hello. Just think about that. And then to be a part of that community. And oh, I was going to say, too, Pam came along. And she thought, what is her role going to be? Because she didn't know these people from before. They knew my first wife, but they didn't know her. So she says, wow, how are they going to be? And I says, well, they're going to love you, Pam. And I was going to get all this dental work done. So she was thinking, well, what's it going to be like for me? So she saw herself kind of not in a position of having a lot of fun or that it was going to be good. Well, she connected with my friend's wife, Anita. Anita can hardly speak any English, and Pam can speak no Spanish. Maybe gracias, she can say.
Yeah.
Gracias. But the two of them connected in the spirit that was incredible, absolutely phenomenal. Pam said, I've never built a deep relationship so quickly with any other woman in her life.
Wow.
In her life. Wow. And so they're like this, you know, I'm putting my hands together, but it's like the word abiding in Christ, abiding in a relationship. So they're as close can be. They were laughing and having a great time because they connected in the spirit. And it's like, what can I say? Because she was out there, Anita was out there just pure and loving, and she connected with Pam, who's out there and pure and loving. And they connected and they built a tremendous relationship in a short period of time. She's never experienced that. So she thought, Pam thought, wow, this is, I never expected this. Isn't that the way our life should be? It's like, what are you going to do today, Lord?
Well, expecting. We should be expecting.
We should be expecting him to move. We should be expecting him to encourage us. We should be expecting miracles. We should be expecting people to be, we should be expecting that we will bring light into darkness. Right, guys? You know, we should be bringing light into darkness because we have the truth. We have the truth.
Yep. All your works shall praise you. All God's works.
Amen.
Shall praise him.
Yeah.
O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
And talk of your power.
Mm-hmm.
And make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
Everlasting.
Psalm 145 down there a ways.
I love it. An
everlasting kingdom.
Everlasting.
And that's, get your expectors up.
Yeah.
I mean,
get your expectors up.
Let's go and visit the everlasting kingdom.
Yeah. He says, start seeing people with my eyes. Start looking at life around you through my eyes. And that is that expectancy should lift our spirits up. You know, it should. You know, that expectancy is like, that's why I like that Ron Johnson. Like he said, every day he'd have coffee time with Jesus. And then before he left, he'd say, well, what are we going to do today, Jesus? And and Jesus would say, just follow me. I will bring us into situations. And it's like that living a life of expectancy because God has great plans for each one of us. He wants us to glorify him. He wants us to have fellowship with him. And I go to Mexico with the idea I'm going to get all this dental work done. And look at what he does. He says, this is your family. This is to encourage you, to lift you up, and to bring back and share with people. That's why this this ministry, PGN, is so important to me, because I just loved getting together with you guys. And hopefully the listeners out there will be uplifted. Just like I say to the men in the jail, I say, I want you to feel better after you leave today than when you came in today. And I had 5 guys at the jail on Tuesday.
Yep.
And these guys are in tough, tough shape. And I'll never forget, because I asked him, well, how are you doing? And one guy said, you know, I says, well, why'd you come? And one guy said, he said, I wanted to find out more about Jesus. And I thought, yes, hallelujah. I said, sir, you're at the right place. And that's all I ever talk about. I just want to talk about that. So I looked at John. We started in the book of John, you know, just like we did as a podcast. John 1, in the beginning was the Word.
That's right.
You know, and I started sharing that. And I said, this is all truth. And you could just, I love it because you can just see people's eyes light up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I get it. I get it. There is hope. There is hope. So I've talked a lot, but it was a wonderful time in Mexico. It was. It lifted me up, and it lifted Pam up. She was totally taken by surprise, and I said, they're a wonderful family.
They are.
And she couldn't believe it when we had that breakfast with them, and it was like, we were sitting at God's table. We were sitting at the banquet table. We were sitting at the banquet table and just sharing. And so I got a taste. I mean, that was a taste of heaven, a part of heaven. Just like when we get together and I'm across the microphone from Kevin and he starts sharing about Father God and stuff. And as it gets to him, it's like, because that's the Spirit of the Lord. God wants us to be moved in Him. He wants us to be moved to see how important our lives are to Him.
Yes.
And to bring glory. I mean, that's our role. That's it.
Well, bring glory to God, not steal His glory.
Not steal, or taint, or, oh my gosh, or besmirch. Is that a good word? Is that a word, besmirch?
I would think so. I would think so. You would be besmirching if you weren't following His guidelines.
Yeah, because I don't want to bring dirt to His name at all. I want to glorify Him.
Right.
Because He is worth everything. He's made my life exciting on a daily basis. So I get revved up. Yep. I came back and I had a cold and stuff. And today, just being here with you two guys is like...
The cold is gone?
The presence comes. God's presence comes. The Holy Spirit comes. And that's what the Rhema Church is about. Because they believe in the supernatural and the practical. So that's what they teach, practical and supernatural. They have a 2-year Bible Institute and stuff.
Right. Right.
You know, so I found out all this stuff, but because I was so interested, and guess where, you know, so I was looking before I came here, well, where's the closest Rhema church? You know, there's a church in St. Cloud, and of course there's churches in the Twin Cities, you know.
Oh, yeah, yep.
So, yeah.
So I've got the application here.
Here it is. Are you ready, Don?
Because, you know, God... I'm preaching on the Ten Commandments, and God oftentimes brings, I wouldn't say normal life's events, because I don't think these are normal. If you know, if we sit down and go through all my troubles, as you might call them, or concerns, it boils down to, and it's the first verse I ever preached about, was 2 Corinthians 4:4. You know, if the gospel is veiled, the good news that we've been talking about today, it is veiled because the God, the little g, of this age has blinded us. And he's talking to Christians in that passage.
Yes.
You know, oh, me a Christian? I have Jesus, so I can't be blinded. You don't know how blinded I've been this last week. I didn't see God's glory. I went to the sanctuary. I could not find Him there. Hmm. I was actually, you know, a little bit of me thought for a moment, I'm looking forward to Thursday because I find God there. Mm-hmm. You know, we find God there, and I found God today,
hallelujah,
in our meeting. But
you should see,
but the devil, what does the devil come to do? And I'm going to be preaching on the
seek,
Ten
kill,
Commandments.
And destroy.
Seek, kill, steal.
Steal.
And destroy, I believe it says. I haven't looked that verse up yet, but it's been resounding stealing.
Yeah.
He's so trying to steal our joy.
That's right.
He's trying to steal our joy. He's trying to blind us, as in that verse. And Sandy, you're going to fall off your chair here. He wants you to be hungry. He wants you to be angry. He wants you to be lonely. And he wants you to be tired. Brethren, be not ignorant of the wiles and the ways of the enemy. This is what he does. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired spells halt.
There it is. There it is.
Halt.
I knew my acronyms would
don't be vulnerable to Satan's attacks.
Yeah.
Because that's where he wants to get us. Because if you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're lonely, or if you're tired, you tend to not follow the Ten Commandments. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do.
That's right.
Is to not to do.
Right. I like the halt. And then, of course, a couple of times before.
Well, yeah, I had to halt. I had to stop. And then, like, my Bible opens up to the refuge has failed me.
Yeah, there
well,
it is.
There it is. I mean, halt. I have been looking in the wrong places, Don.
Yeah.
You know, I have to look to God.
Right.
And for some reason, he has set up this community, this world, as family.
Yes.
And I needed some of that family of God to I had to stop. I had to get my expectors up because I was expecting something's going to happen today, and it did. Mm-hmm. I was angry. I was tired. One of those things, and you know, any one of those four things or multiples thereof is right where the devil wants you to be.
Yeah, that's what he wants. He wants us.
Because you're going to do something stupid.
Yeah, he wants us to give up. He wants us
to
feel hopeless.
Stupid.
He wants us to feel. And I like, because I had come up with this acronym when you said halt. We are to be the light of the world. Light. The Lord is giving his truth. Lord is giving holy truths. Lord is giving his truth.
That's right.
We are to walk in that light. We are to walk in his holy truth that he initiates in our life.
Right.
He is the light. And that light drives out halt. It opens up. Halt cannot remain with a light in its presence.
Correct.
Because you can't stay. You can't stay angry.
No,
you can't stay tired.
If you're halted or stopped, you're frozen. You're blinded.
Yeah.
I mean,
You're veiled.
Incapacitated.
Yeah, the gospel is veiled and you are paralyzed.
Kill, steal, and destroy. So, I mean, where does that come from? Could it be Satan?
That's good. We're good at that.
We're getting better.
So, any thoughts, Don?
Wow, this is just beautiful what you're sharing. And I'm just so impressed with your experience and how you're sharing it and how the family is the focus there.
It is. It is. Family is everything, and we know that, Don. We know that. And things have happened in our life that has deteriorated that family. But Jesus will provide us the family in his church, his body. That can be, because sometimes we don't have any control over our families.
No.
We have control over our relationship with Jesus Christ and with each other, but we can be a part of a family,
mm-hmm.
And be a participating part of that family.
And if you find a pastor that preaches and teaches the Bible,
mm-hmm.
You'll find family. And
and
I have found that. The experience I had this week, I don't even know when it was. Wednesday? It was
yesterday.
I mean, it was some random pastor, but it was just to get me angry. I mean, it was just to get me more tired, and I was more vulnerable to Satan's attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what you go to the sanctuary for.
you go to build up your defenses,
not to have them tear down. The Sabbath day was made for man.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, take a Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And he also said in that exchange that it's a day, it's okay to heal. It's okay to do good works. and help somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, so what are we doing on the Sabbath that we put aside for worshiping God? But he states, if I can't remember the verse, but he states that the Sabbath is there for you.
Yes.
Is what that exchange means, and that we are to rest on that day, rest in
rest.
Him. But it's still okay to heal on those days, because he was challenged about not keeping the Sabbath himself.
Yeah.
And
why are you telling that guy to Why are you telling that guy to pick up his mat and walk
and
on the Sabbath?
Yeah, and what's the story here? He was healed. No, you broke the Sabbath.
No. You think how ridiculous that is?
It's just like watching CNN. I mean, they don't care that this person was murdered. They cared that the political affiliation of the person who committed the murder was, tainted or besmirched or something.
Yeah. Besmirched.
It's besmirched. So,
besmirched.
So don't besmirch. But anyway, the Sabbath, I mean, it was made for man.
Yeah.
That we can regroup, we can get back together again. We can be healed, because I was definitely healed today.
Good. So the focus is seek family. Seek the family of God.
Yep.
Seek the family of God, because we need each other.
Yes.
We need each other, just like we need to do this, Don. We need to do this I've missed this, and I miss it when I don't go to the jail to share with the guys, because that's family. That's building relationships. That's building hope.
Yep.
And that's like, this is what it's all about. It's all about glorifying him, because he loves me. He loves Don. He loves Kevin. He loves us. And because of that love, we're able to love and reach out to other people. So that's why we have the telephone number. Please call.
Yes.
What's the telephone number?
218-461-0164.
461, that's right. 0164.
461-0164,
yes.
With the area code 218. And that'll 218. Get probably a recording, or you can text it, your joys and concerns, and one of our joyful podcast hosts will return your call.
Yeah, please contact us. Yeah, please let us know how you're doing. I mean, it's really important.
Yep, and don't be vulnerable to Satan's attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, be not ignorant of the ways of the devil, that if you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're lonely or tired, just halt, stop, and reach out to heaven above. Find a Bible-believing church and reach out.
Yeah.
And because they've been there. They've been there, done that. They know. And if they don't know, I mean, just turn to God, and he'll revive you where you are.
Just don't isolate. Just don't isolate yourself.
Don't isolate. Nope.
God wants to touch our hearts.
Forsake not the gathering together of like believers. Go ahead, Don.
I can't help but compare what Sandy's been talking about in terms of the church with the church where people are looking at their wristwatches when the sermon goes a couple minutes too long.
Go on, yeah.
And they're shaking their wristwatch maybe to, you know, why is this going so slow? And there's got to be one of two problems. Either the pastor is not hearing from God. Now, that's a possibility. We hope not, but it might be. And the other is something has taken the place of God in that person's life. Whatever they're wanting to get to is taking the place of God, if the church service is what it's supposed to be.
Mm.
And either way, something needs to change. So I just appreciate so much what you've shared, Sandy. I had a similar experience last night with an old recording. It was a concert I went to 30 years ago, and I found this recording, And I just got caught up in the praise and the worship of God. I was just overwhelmed, and I was so thankful for that. And it was actually lost. I couldn't find it. I thought, I really need to take a look at this. And the Lord just sort of eventually guided to me to where it was. I put it on, and it was just, I was in the presence of God, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
So
I love it. I can just tell on your face, too. It's like, because, I mean, going to that church service, there's a call, there's an expectancy. This is what church is about. We are to worship in abandonment. Mm-hmm. We are to worship in abandonment.
Right.
We are to pray for one another. We are to cry together. We are to spend that time. It's like, and at the end of the service, Anita came up to Pam and just started praying for her. Just grabbed her around, and Pam was, you know, teary-eyed and everything else. But that's it. There's got to be that expectancy, that culture of expectancy that, he is going to be amongst us when we get together. Mm-hmm. As we lift him up, he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. As we lift him up, we are lifted up. That's a maxim as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. As we worship him and lift him up, we cannot be but lifted up.
That's right.
If I be lifted up before men, I will draw all men unto me. Let's lift up Jesus. Let's lift up Jesus.
Amen.
Let's lift him up for eternity. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto thee. You know, and that's the way it should be. It's breaking into song. And like, I'm so glad you shared that because we have that available to us all the time. He says, ask of me. I will point you in the direction you need to go. But the enemy will say, give up. You have no refuge.
That's right.
The refuge is gone. And it's like, that's why we need each other.
Right.
That's like when we get to those points, we need to call out and call out to each other and say, do you have a word for me? Do you have something that you can share? Or just to unburden.
Right.
You know, just to share that stuff.
Right.
Because,
unburden yourself.
Yeah.
Unburden yourself.
Yeah, because we weren't meant to take this on by ourselves.
No, no.
We were not. We are not self-sufficient.
That's why I unburden myself with you guys, because you're the closest thing to Jesus I have in front of me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So are you. Yeah. That's why we get together.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Lord is.
God is good.
God is.
Yeah. God is always.
Yeah. Well, thanks for this time. Thank you, Don, for sharing. That was awesome at the end there about all that, too, because it's so true. Yeah. We just fail to reach out, and he says, you know, it's like if I lose something, I say, Lord, you're going to have to just put it in front of my face because I don't know where it is. And so what does he do? He puts it in front of my face.
That's right.
He is 100%. He is listening to us, and he wants to meet us. And he wants us to worship him and glorify him. It's the best life there is. It's the best life. There is no other life. This is it. In his presence is fullness of joy.
And at his right hand is beauty and wholeness forevermore.
Amen.
I mean, when we're at his right hand,
where
are we? You know, it's not here.
Well, bless you, Don. God bless you.
Thank you.
Great,
the Lord bless you.
Great talking
Thank
to you and hearing you and seeing you. He's doing something.
Let you know, Saturday the 13th, we're going to be in Florida for eight days.
Wow.
8 days. Saturday the 13th. We're going down to
visit. March?
April.
Okay,
April.
Okay.
And that's Liz wants to visit her dad.
Yeah.
And me as well, and Don.
Good. That's great.
Wonderful.
That's great. Yeah, we're going to be gone again next week. We're going to be traveling down to Port Charlotte, Florida. We're going to be traveling down.
Oh, there you go.
We're going on our Bahamas cruise that I won. This free cruise. So we're going to see Joel. We're going to see Joel on the way back. So Nashville.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that. God bless you, Don. You are a blessing.
Lord bless you. Thank you. You too, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Brother, you and I.
Listening to the Gospel Trail.